Who every praise to our God, a God who deserves it. Amen. Great to see everybody. If you are visiting with us for the first time, welcome. We have a family of brothers and sisters, believers that are far from perfect. And we realize that and know that, but we're happy that you're worshiping with us this morning. And I wanted to start off by thanking our family, thanking my spiritual family. Carlin, my wife, had surgery on Monday, and thank you. She's recovering well. Thank you for the many meals that you sent. They have been amazing. I want to thank you for that, and they've been so good that I'm going to have surgery next week. So I already planned it out. I don't know what I'm going to have surgery on, but to get those meals, cut me, doc. They're worth it. So, I do want to share that Tim and Dina Clark, many of you know them. They've been a part of our church for many, many years. This is their last official Sunday. They're not going there and coming back. This is their last Sunday. So ushers kidnapped them. Don't let them leave. They are not going. You got it, Greg. Okay. All right. So we love you guys. Boy, it's been a great ride, and thank you for all you've done, and we're going to miss you. And so, please invite us up over, amen. But really, really, they have served in this church for many, many years, and please give them a hug before you leave. And, truly, this is God's household, and in our individual households, we all deal with trials and challenges differently, okay? We all have our ways of coping, etc. But I want to throw out a few questions that I want you to answer, and really answer it from the standpoint of how would we as a church deal with these trials, okay? How would we deal, in your mind, how would God's household deal with these very challenging situations? All right, let me throw it out. One day, I come and I confess that I've committed adultery on my wife. How would we deal with that as a church? What do you think? Yes. Ignore Greg when he talks about stone. I think I heard him say stone me, right? I heard that, Greg. Hey. Good gracious. Okay. 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 All right. All right. Yes. Okay, going back to the scriptures, talking about repentance, looking at what God's word says. Okay, who else? Yes. Okay. Mm. Okay. 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 Being a backbone to help the different branches, we're kind of one. We're the family. Yes, Lavinia. Okay. Okay, grace, mercy, compassion. Okay, one more. Yeah. I confessed it, yeah. Okay. I have some work to do. Our family, yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. Absolutely. You know, it's a serious flaw, right? I mean, I can tell you how it would work in this church. I can tell you, if I confess that to Bill, that I committed adultery on Carlin, he'd be like, what? Well, hold up. When? Who? Where? How many times? How? Right? And then I'm sure the elders would be like, well, A.B., how did that come about? You just don't fall into adultery like you fall into a pit. You know, there's some steps way before that led to that decision. So Bill would be like, bro, we've been playing golf. How come you didn't mention a struggle? We talk about all kinds of things. They would be like, many brothers in my life, Steve, many brothers in my life would be like, Greg, what happened? We didn't know this about you and Carl. What's going on? Now, how would the church handle if I talked to Bill Bogan and confessed that I have been lusting and I've committed adultery in my heart? How would the church deal with that? Yes. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, arrest that. You know, that's why in James 5:16, confess your sins to one another, pray for each other so that we can be healed. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. 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 That's right. That's right. Yeah. Now, you know, Greg and I had dinner the other day on Friday and came over to the house and another scenario. If I announced that, I just shot Greg dead. He didn't like what Jenny brought over for the meal. He complained. I don't have a gun, but got it out. Bam! Shot it. Now, how would the church deal with that? Yes. Now we get the stone, all right? Yes. It'd be a new prison ministry, right? What was the deep root? Yeah. Yes, yeah. Yeah. That's right. Yes. Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Yes, Regina. Okay. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Deep issues. Now, if I confess to Bill that I had hatred in my heart, how would he handle that? Let's be honest. Yeah. Yeah. Casual about lust, casual about hatred, casual about the insides. We give more attention to the outside, to things that happen, these big events. I mean, you know, somebody killed somebody over a road rage incident. They didn't get that way because somebody cut them off. That just brought out what was already inside. And you see, Jesus tells us from the inside, from men's hearts, come sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, slander, arrogance, folly, and more. Brothers and sisters, our Summer of Psalms series, we have this because we need direction and instructions on how to deal with our insides, with our emotions, with our intentions, with our minds, with our hearts, with our passions. The word says that God's word will penetrate, dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. I am not a good judge of my heart. And sometimes, even as a family, we're not really looking at the heart of issues. And so we need help. This series, we have investigated the heart behind Psalm 23. And David talking about God being a shepherd and how he's content with these things in life, these trials. We have been held up by Psalm 27. And it's encouragement to wait on the Lord. Today, we are going to be calmed by God's guiding and guarding encouragements to not be anxious. Psalm 127. I am very proud of the church and how we have entered in a familiar but sometimes unfamiliar setting when we're having these groups on Wednesday night. To be able to be open about what's inside. And I'm so thankful, and I know that many of you could share this, but I'm thankful about my group with Joe Cooper and Steve Bowen and David Martinez and Andy Hinton. I mean, in those 30 minutes and 15 minutes of prayer, we have shared very deep things of the heart. And I leave Wednesday night refreshed. I leave Wednesday night connected to my brothers in a deeper way. And so hopefully because I do that and our brothers do that and sisters do that, that we won't have to make these confessions of adultery or confessions of murder or confessions of things that have gotten out of hand because we have not dealt with the inside. And so we have an opportunity, and I want to thank these brothers for the sharing in the church, for the way that you're growing in your openness and your vulnerability, and I know God's blessing it. Let us go to our Father in prayer. Father in heaven, we come to you this morning thankful for the opportunity to look into your word and to tackle, Father, what many times gets in the way of our freedom and our peace, and that's our anxious thoughts. Father, please calm them this morning. Allow everyone to leave with a better understanding of what anxiety is and a better understanding of how to deal with it. We love you. We thank you for your instructions. Thank you for your grace and your mercy and your peace. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. You know, this is a picture. I was in the car and I was I just took a picture of this home that's being built in our cul-de-sac. And it's a pretty tight cul-de-sac, and I didn't think they had room to build another house, but somebody had a lot, and they started building on it about a month ago. And I thought, if they were to ask me to build a house, I would laugh at them. Because I don't know how to build a house. I don't know what it takes. I'm not a contractor. I have no clue on, I guess you start with the foundation. I have no clue on how to build a house. You know, building without blueprints, without guidance, without direction, without a mentor, without experience, can be frustrating and a bit unnerving, but also somewhat adventurous. Psalm 127 is a psalm written by Solomon. Solomon was one of the greatest builders that's ever lived. And Solomon is writing about how one builds their life and their family. And he would know, because he tried it all. And he built correctly and he built incorrectly. He built with God and he built without God, so he has experience. If you want to know what it means to have a lot of women, he could tell you. A lot of money, a lot of property, a lot of power. He lived it all. And so I believe Solomon does understand a few things about how to build a life. Amen? From his mistakes and from his victories. You know, so many people build their lives without a plan. So many people just get on the dirt and get out there and start building. They don't have a plan or blueprint. And guess what happens? Frustration, anxiety, failure, disappointment. Many people build like they built their lives in Judges, as though they did as they pleased. And we've all experienced life building as we thought best, or building like we want to, versus building our lives like God has designed us to. It's a big difference. Psalm 127. Let's read in verse 1. Unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city and guards, stand watch in vain. In vain you rise early and stay up late, toiling for food to eat, for he grants sleep to those he loves. You know, many times we're anxious because we're just building and we don't know how to build. And we may be afraid of the future. The world is full of anxious people. I know there are none in this room. We all tend to build without glancing at the blueprints from time to time. And it does lead to anxiety. We're all different. We're all in different life stations. And if we were to remember some of us back in our teen years, way back when, and teens, you can help me with this today. What are teens anxious about? What's that? Everything? What are y'all? And yes, Leah. What's that? Making good grades at school. I wasn't anxious about that. No, because I wasn't a great student, Leah. I'm not, you know, usually great students say that. I was talking to someone, Anna Curtis, maybe, and she was telling me about her great grades. She wasn't bragging. She said, think you made how many B's in college or in high school? Yeah. She made one B in high school. You know what I thought? So did I. I don't need to be open about the F's and the D's. But I mean, you know, if you're a great student, you get anxious about stuff like that. I mean, Talia is a great student, you know, anxious about grades, okay? Yes. 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 You said this, that for money, were you talking about money? Do you have money? Oh, okay. You're anxious about getting some money. You want to develop. Okay, all right, yes, yes, Dennis. What's that? Graduating. How many remember about being anxious about graduating? That's a tough stage in life. Yes. What people think about you. I mean, man, you remember being a teenager when you had, like, you know, acne? And you were afraid or wonder, what do people think? Or you want to be in that cool group or that peer group that you're striving to be. It's tough. Tough life. Yes, one more. What's that? Driver's ed. Driver's test. You are seriously concerned about a car, aren't you? Last week he talked about the car. Amen, brother. Leon, get that man a car. We're going to pray for a contribution, special contribution for JC to have a car. All right, so college students, remember what are you anxious about in college? Anybody remember? Yes. Yep. Woo. Big transition. Yeah, big transition. Yes. Yeah. Graduating on time, making the grade. Okay. Anybody else? College students or college. Remember those days? Yes. Finals week. Anxious. You know, I wasn't. You know, again, you got to, everybody's different. I said, I'm not going to put my mind through what my mind did not do the earlier semester. So let me just live freely and enjoy, you know, that terrible mentality to have. I'm just confessing. Yes. Every single track meet, okay? What were you anxious about?
A lot of fear.
Okay. All right. All right. Now, yes. Yes. Oh, yeah. Yeah. And then after you graduate, the student loans will pay off, right? I guess that's in a young professional. So young professionals, what are you anxious about? Student loan. There you go. What else? Yes. You're not a young professional. Yes. The mortgage payment? All right. We'll take that. Young professionals. Yes, yes. Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Building toward that future life, you know, pleasing that new boss, making sure everything's lined up for your, there's a lot of anxiety. Yes. Hmm. Yeah. Wow. Very cutthroat, dog eat dog. You have to watch your integrity. Sometimes you want to be like them and try to, you know, overcome and climb that corporate ladder and step on somebody's head and while doing it. And yeah. Well, yes, Kitty. Man, yeah. Yeah. I mean, boy, graduating and then going, okay, I want a mate for life. Who's that going to be? Is it going to be? What about when we're some of us veterans? What are we anxious about these days? What do you think? Yes. Yeah, what's going to happen to our grandchildren? Look at the world. What's going to happen to our grandchildren, okay? Yeah. What else? Yes. Man. Do we have enough money for retirement? Enough in a 401k, and do we have enough? Yes, Joe.
We have a plan. Okay, have I planned enough that when I retire, that there's enough to live on?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Pardon me. Yeah. Yeah, anxious about who's going to die first or what's going to happen. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Once you retire, you have enough money. Will I be alive to enjoy it? Yeah. Or am I passing it on to my kids? Yes, Anthony. The parenting years, yeah. You know what's funny? Is I was thinking about it, I go, you know what? Many times anxiety comes from me, my anxiety comes from me not being okay with my lot in life. My lot in life. You know, where am I living right now? What's going to happen in the future? And me not being content or satisfied, like we talked about 2 weeks ago, with my lot in life. There's nothing wrong with advancing. There's nothing wrong with degrees. There's nothing wrong with getting money. But am I satisfied? Am I okay? Am I content with my lot in life? And it's difficult to deal with life on life's terms and not on mine. I have a hard time with that. Sometimes it's easier than other times, but it's tough. How do you know if you're anxious? Or better yet, what is anxiety? What is anxiety? Yeah. Fear, okay? Worry, all right? A lack of peace, okay? Yes. Yes. Not trusting in God, okay? How do you know if you're anxious? What are the signs? What are your signs? Yes. Oh, yeah, spoken from a doctor. Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Start beating fast. Yeah. Becky. Yeah. You can't, it's almost like you just come back to the same thing. You can't escape it. You can't leave it. You can't cast it away. It comes back. Yes. Wow. Lump in the throat, tightness of the shoulders, chest. Yes. You lose sleep. Okay, you can't even have a good night's sleep because you're worried, anxious. Yes, Katrina. You bite your nails. Okay, thank you for being open. Yes. Okay, sometimes we get anxious and we eat, right? We eat, yes. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Mm.
Yes. That's right. Yeah. Yeah. I think that's a great, great challenge for us. How do you balance that? What am I supposed to do? What is God going to do? And I appreciate what Steve shared on Wednesday night. We talked about waiting. And he wouldn't mind me sharing this, but he says, sometimes I wait too long. And sometimes I need to do something. And I said, Steve, I feel the same way. Sometimes I wait too long, and God's telling me to do something. I need to do what he tells me to do. And I really think, when you think about anxiety, and, you know, I'm not a psychiatrist, but, you know, Paul shares about anxiety. And it's really interesting to hear about what Paul shares. And I believe God understands and knows that we will be anxious about life. But turn with me to Philippians chapter 4. And I want to share this scripture, and we know it. We've read it many, many times. And it's this kind of always, never, right? In verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Now, you know, Paul knew that you don't rejoice always, but you can rejoice in the Lord always, right? Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. I believe when we understand that God is near, we can rejoice in everything. He says, do not be anxious about anything. Do not be anxious about anything. Paul defines anxiety as being distracted. That word means you're distracted. It means that you're drawn in an opposite direction. You're divided. There's this opposite of peace, shalom, coming together. It's we're divided, we're distracted, we're going off in different directions, mentally, spiritually, emotionally. And he says, do not go in all these directions about anything. Come on, Paul. About anything? And I used to think that Paul is saying, do not be anxious, period. And so what will some of us do with that? We'll get anxious about not being anxious. I can't be anxious. God says I can't be anxious. I got to be calm. And so we're all worked up about not being anxious. I don't think that was Paul's intent. I think Paul is saying, you're going to be anxious. I'm going to show you how to not stay anxious. I'm going to show you how to not stay anxious. Look what he says. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. I tell you what, if we would practice this verse, we would see a change in this church, a change in your family, a change in your heart and mind. If we were to simply say, you know what, when I get anxious, I'm going to pray about it. What does that word prayer mean to Paul? Paul says we need to exchange wishes to God. It's an exchange. It's a conversation. Okay, God, how does that sound? How does that look? What does that mean, exchanging wishes to God, battling what's inside? Give me an example of how one can pray in a tough situation. What could he say? Yeah. Okay. Okay. Yeah, what an example. Jesus says, here's how you do it. You go three times. You keep on going until there's resolve. God, I don't want to go on the cross. I don't want to die. I don't want to suffer.
Not my will, but yours be done. You see this conversation, it's battling with it. What other examples can, yeah. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And go right back in that room. There you go. Here's our, Lord, my wife is getting on my nerve. Don't worry, I won't kill her. I feel funny. I don't want to be in this situation. What do I need to do, God? I mean, it's working it out. And my nature is when I have trials and I get overwhelmed, I do the opposite. I don't talk to anybody. That's how I was raised. You don't talk about it. You just shut up and go. You deal with it. But could you imagine if as teenagers, something happens in our home where we don't like what our parents' direction or their instruction, and we just go automatically to God and go, God, I know you gave me these parents. I need to learn right now how to be a respectful, responsible young lady and young man or child of theirs, because your word does say obey your parents in the Lord. It's right. I'm wrestling. Or we have that boss that's condescending or just irrational, and we go, God, I know that you're my boss's boss. I know that. I remember wrestling. Some of us cram up and we say nothing. Or we just complain. That's not prayer. Prayer is having this conversation. I mean, you can complain. You can lament. I'm not saying that. But if you're not going to God with an answer, you're just complaining. And it's okay to lament. It's okay to be honest with God. But that petition, that next word is very key. When we pray, Paul says, and petition. When you petition, it means that you're in want, that you're lacking something. When you're petitioning for something, it rises out of a deep personal need. It's for me to go, God, I want this, I desire this, but I cannot carry it out. I'm too weak. I'm too frustrated right now. I need your calming spirit. I need wisdom. I need you in this. God, help me. So we can complain, we can exchange, but at the end of the day, you want to get to the point where you're like, God, I can't. I can't. I can't be the father that you want me to be. I don't have the power. Not today. I can't be the husband. I can't do it. I can't overcome this bitterness. This person hurt me, but I can't do it. I can't say, Father, forgive them. I want to kill them. Help me. I'm too weak. I'm petitioning for your help. See, prayer and petition, and then the next one is amazing, thanksgiving. Whoo, that's tough. To pray is one thing, to petition is another, to thank God for your situation, to thank God and have gratitude for the situation, that's a lot. Thanking God for his grace, thanking God for developing this characteristic in me. So prayer, petition, thanksgiving. And then what happens after that? Present your request to God. And the peace of God, not your peace, not a borrowed peace, but the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Peace. That divided anxiety comes together, excuse me, as a whole. it makes sense now. What I was anxious about now, it makes sense because God has it. And God has given us his peace. You see, it is the peace of God because it is peace with God and not alone. It surpasses, it's above, it's superior to our understanding. It transcends our understanding. It will guard our mind, our hearts in Christ. You know, anxiety happens for me when I step out of Christ and become my own shepherd. That's when I get anxious. When I get my rod and my staff and I take it from the shepherd and say, here I go, let's go. Every day I look at the workers that are working on the house and none of them seem anxious. They know what they're doing. They've been given a task. They've been mentored. They've been helped. They have a blueprint of what they're building. They're not anxious. They're hot, but they're not anxious. They're not anxious. How are we working? How do people see us living? You see, my concern for myself is that if I'm anxious and I'm not waiting and I'm not content and I'm not satisfied, it's a reflection on God. It's a reflection on the shepherd. More than it's on me, the sheep. And at first I used to think, wait a minute, I don't want people to see me in that state. But when they see me, they're not trusting the shepherd. They don't want to be shepherded by that shepherd. And it's amazing when we're content and we're at peace. And when we wait on God, God gets the glory and the honor. And as we sang about this morning, he deserves it. He deserves it. I'm just going to go over this because of time. There is a positive anxiety too. An anxiety that's good. The anxiety that's good is a positive, disturbing concern. It's a positive division, a positive distraction, if you will. And many of us know it, 1 Corinthians 12. God has put this body together, given greater honor to the parts that lacked it. We know that we should be concerned with each division of the body. We should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, we all suffer. One part rejoices, is honored, we all rejoice with it. That is a separation of sorts. That I don't come just as my own person. That when I'm here and I here the clocks are going to be moving for the final time. There's something that's divided in me in a good way. It's not just, oh, y'all take care. See you in heaven. No, there's a desire. That there's a oneness there. I believe that's a different kind of anxiety. That's good. That's positive. Paul talks about Timothy. I have no one else like him who shows a genuine concern for your welfare. For everyone looks out for their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. I believe our anxiety is brought to a low when we're concerned about other people. I believe that's a good anxiety. When we serve and we're concerned, when I think only about me, myself, and I get anxious because I believe we were designed to give. We were designed to be like God. So think about that. I just threw that on. It just kind of came to me. It's so crucial that we calm and guide our anxieties as Christians. And discipleship is the way we do it. We do it through helping one another. I can't do it on my own. We need each other. I need help. I'm still in school. I'm still a disciple. And many times, I don't even know that anxiety is at my doorstep. And I need help. I want to imitate the heart of the psalmist in Psalm 139 as we close. Psalm 139, could you imagine if we all had this attitude and this heart set? Psalm 139 in verse 23. The psalmist says, search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. see if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. I want to ask you a question. Are you open and ready right now for God to search you? Are you open enough to be searched by God? Through His Spirit, through His Word, through His people. Are you open enough to be tested by God? Test. Sometimes I don't want to be searched because I don't want them to find what's in there, right? Are you open to be tested by God? See if there's any offensive way in me. Are you open to be seen by God? The psalmist was. And are you open to be led by God? Let me ask you, church, if we all had this attitude and grew in this attitude, what would happen here at the church? What would be different? If we all had a search me, test me, see me, lead me heart, what would be the difference? What do you think? Okay, depending on God, resolving conflict. How would this church look? That attitude, inside. I dream about it. I pray about it. I think about it. That's why we're doing the Summer of Psalms. Because I understand that things come from the inside. And we need it directed. Yes. Patty? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. Yeah, definitely wouldn't be prejudice. We'd see everybody kind of coming in as one. Yeah. What else? Yes. Humility, selflessness, giving. Okay. Yeah. You see, yeah, Aaron, one more. Okay. Okay. Mm. Yeah. The joy, the healthiness, the happiness. You know, I believe that many of you would have people that would want to follow you. And they would follow you here. They'd follow you at home. I mean, they wouldn't, like, stalk you or anything like that. I'm not praying for that. But you'd be a light in a very dark and anxious world. You would make a difference in your office. You'd make a difference in your class. You'd make a difference in your neighborhood. You'd make a difference in your family. And so I pray that we would have this heart to be able to be led by God, for God to see us, test us, search us, and to have that openness to be instructed by the Psalms, God's blueprint for our lives. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your works, your wonders, your will, and your ways. And Father, we ask you to, Father, open the hearts of those that are closed to you. Father, we pray that you would bring security to those who are afraid to be tested by you. And Father, I pray that you would give vision and comfort for those who are afraid to be seen by you. I pray that you would give a humility to those who are not wanting to be led by you. Father, you are the great shepherd. And Father, we want to be responsive, and we want to be obedient and and trusting in you. Father, we thank you for the many blessings that you provide that will calm our anxieties. Father, we pray that we can go to you in prayer and petition, and we can wait on you with thanksgiving. Father, you are the great shepherd of our souls, and we love you, and we're thankful for this opportunity. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. As always, we in our meet and greet room, we have several that will be back there for prayer. If you are in need of prayer and you would like for us to pray with you and for you, we would love to meet you back there. Thank you so much. You're dismissed. Have a great day.